Mephibosheth. Anybody don't know that story? Hold your hand if you don't know that story. All right, I'm glad everybody knows that story. I'm glad I'm like Mephibosheth. I'm like him. Huh? Jerry, I was thinking about what you seen that I don't see my brokenness anymore. And you can't either. We ain't supposed to be looking under the table. You know? We ain't supposed to be looking under the table. We're supposed to be looking right straight across and remember that we're all the same looking across, huh? Ain't no big eyes or little U's when it comes to the family of God. Ain't that good? All right. Everybody all right? Turn to Psalms 111. Give you a few thoughts this morning. Psalms 111. Again, we welcome you if you're here for your first time. We just come to have church. Glad you come with us. It's our honor that you're here. For all those who come all the time, it's our honor that you're here. Take no one for granted. A lot that I would like to see that will not see here. No more. That will not be with them here. But we sung about it a while ago. When our sorrows will end and our voices will blend. Huh? Sometimes we get off on a note and can't carry a tune. But boy, up there it'll be different. Well, kind of excites me to go. What about you? I'm so glad I get to go. I get to go see Jesus. Think about that. All right? All right, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come this morning. Sure do thank you for all that you give us, all that you do for us. You're marvelous in every way, and we're not, but boy, you sure are. Lord, I appreciate how you take care of us. You show us grace, mercy, and bunches of it, and we're so thankful. Cheryl Ann sung this morning that we ought to be more thankful for what I could have been. Man, I thank you for that I'm not what I could have been. Lord, I thank you that I'm not where I could have been. Lord, I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do. Help us now, I pray. Speak to every heart. Lord, I pray that we might search ourselves out this morning. We might examine ourselves. And Lord, I pray that if there is one here that's unsaved, that they'll come to trust you today. One that's maybe a little cold to get stirred up. Lord, one that's walking a little far off where they ain't got no business walking. Lord, I pray they'll get back in the path. And for those who seemingly are walking where they're supposed to, Lord, give them grace and give them strength to keep on getting it. Lord, we got a long way to paddle. Lord, help us that we might do it exactly as you want us to do. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Many things are missing today. If we look around, we can see of course, there's people missing, but there's things missing in life that we used to have, that we used not necessarily enjoy, but I reckon we did enjoy them, but we took them for granted. We watched them leave. We see today, and we mentioned a lot of times, one of the things that is gone, we talked about it down here working on the building here the other week. Work ethic is gone. We have problems when you go anywhere, it seems like, to get anything done. There's no work ethic. There's no pride in work being done. Even fast food, don't matter where you're working, a grocery store, fast food, or hospital, or some kind of big office, or a plant, or a coal mine, there's just no work ethic. It's missing. I don't know that we'll ever get that back. That's got to be taught. What is it they say? That hard times make great men. Great men make easy times. Easy times make weak men. And it's going to take hard times again before there's any strong man ever comes around. And I believe that's true. That's a true statement. It's not Bible, but it is true. And I believe that. You know, some other things that's missing. Ethics, not just work ethics, but standards are missing. We don't have the standard of manhood. We don't have the standard of being a lady. That there's no, it does seem like it's something of the past. What do they call it? Chivalry. For a man to open a door for a lady, to say yes, ma'am. I've had people rebuke me for calling them ma'am. And I told them, I said, well, that's what I was taught. You're just going to have to suffer through it. I'm going to call you ma'am or sir. I don't care who it is. But we've lost that. We've lost that standard. We've lost that standard of respect one to another. You can see that in everyday life, how we fail to respect people. Priorities are misplaced. I don't know that we've lost priority. We've just got them misplaced. So they're missing out of their order, might be a way to say it. We've lost power in church. We've got a lot of churches. A lot of churches, you can just about throw a rock and hit a church anywhere in any town. And some's got a few in it, some's got a lot in it. As far as people goes, some ain't got much in it other than people. And sometimes you got churches and the Lord ain't there. I had a lady say one time that she just having a hard time. It's hard for her to go to church where God wasn't. And that's sad when you say that about a church house, that you just can't hardly go where God ain't. I thought God was supposed to be there all the time. But sometimes he's so suppressed that he's like he's missing. And the power of God missing our churches. But I believe a lot of that comes down to something that's missing. And I believe it's missing not just in our state or county or town or our church, but I believe it's missing worldwide. And that's the fear of God. I don't know of a day. I've read a history. I like history. I've read a lot about history. And there's been people that is through their fist up to God. There's people who have spit in the face of God individually. But I don't know of a time when nations have done that to God, where there's no fear of God. Even in our great nation, I believe our nation is a great nation. I believe the greatest nation is Israel. That's what the Bible teaches. But I believe that the United States is one of the greatest nations it's ever been. And there was a time that there was a fear of God. I believe that on a quarter, on the new quarters, I believe it's the quarters, ain't that the one that's got George Washington on it? The old quarters has "In God We Trust." If you're looking at the face of the quarter, you're the face of the quarters down on the left-hand side, and George's face is looking down on "In God We Trust." But the new quarters, he's facing away, and "In God We Trust" is on the other side. And there's no respect. There's no fear of God. Not even trusting in God the way our nation says we do. Well, that's one thing to say about a nation, but when we come down to a personal life and a personal level, when we come down to whether we fear God ourselves, whether there is a fear of God in our own heart, in our own mind, I believe today that that's missing just the same. I believe we missed it with the Christian, and I believe we missed it with the lost person. I believe Christians today don't have the fear of God that the Bible speaks of. I believe that the lost people today don't have the fear of God, partially because the Christian don't have the fear of God. I believe that God has put on a back burner, that now he's just something that add on to life. He's become a novelty. He's not even a mainstay for anybody's life. He's a novelty of take it and leave it. Me and Boyd has talked, you know, Boyd's carried that tent all over the country and has seen many, many hundreds of people come to the Lord in that tent. But in places that he took the tent, it was a novelty because they put the power of God with an old-fashioned tent. And they missed it. That it's not the tent that brought it, but it was God himself that had his power, and his word had his power. And we brought that now into the church house, to where now church or being a Christian is not even, there's not a fearful thing, that now it's no respect of God, that Christians, professing believers, live any way they want to live. That they say anything they want to say, that they do anything they want to do without any fear of God, respect or awe or the greatness of God being in their mind. Amen. We have sinners, lost people, wicked lost people that they don't fear nothing. They don't fear God. They'll curse God. When I worked in the mines, I'll never forget, there was a man, he's dead now. But I talked to him even after the mines. But I was running a scoop, supplying the section this night. For some reason, my buggy was broke down, and this man was running the pinner. He was up in a place I've never heard cussing. I've never heard the most vulgar language. I wouldn't ever repeat but I had his all these bolts and plates and glue in my bucket of my scoop, and I put them out there at the end of the breakthrough. I said, you come get them. I'm not bringing them up there. I'm not coming up there where you're at. I'm not listening to that mouth, and you ought to fear God. I ain't even come up on any place. I'm afraid the whole mountain will fall in on you. Never heard such, but no respect, no fear of God. Now, I can expect that of a lost person, but I can't expect no fear of God in us that are Christian. The Bible says in Psalms 111, I didn't forget where I told you to go. Psalms 111, verse 10, is where we're going to start at this morning. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, a lot of times we take fear and we say, well, I'm not supposed to be afraid of the Lord. Well, that's not the fear of the Lord that I'm speaking of when it comes to a Christian. We'll talk to you about two fears this morning. One is the fear of a Christian, the fear of the Lord in a Christian's life, and the fear of the Lord in a sinner's life, in a lost man's life, and there are vast differences there. When we think about the fear of the Lord when it comes to a Christian, it's not what we think. It's the fear of God, like we are His children and He is our Father. That's the fear of God that we're talking about. We're talking about respect. We're not terror, but reverence. We're talking about the awesomeness of God, that we stand in awe of God. You know that it's been a long time since Christians seem like they live like they're in awe of God. That you just, when you talk about knowing the Lord and trusting the Lord, that you just, He wows you. You got so much respect and reverence that you watch how you live. You watch how you talk. You watch where you go. You watch all your actions because of the reverence, and that's the godly fear that the Bible speaks of. To understand, look in Psalms 33, if we would. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. Psalms 33 in verse 8, it says this: let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Do you still stand in awe of God? That when you wake in the morning, have you ever, some of you have never seen daylight. You've seen daylight, but you never seen it become daylight. It's already day when you get up, but if you get up early of a morning before it's day and go outside and listen to the world come alive, listen to all the night noises as they start diminishing. And then when the sunlight starts to break through and you see the sun coming over the mountain, and it comes over the mountain every day. Think about that. Over the mountain every day. And when it comes over the mountain, the birds start. And I was taught, I reckon it's true, that the first bird that sings in the morning is our state bird, the cardinal. That's the first bird that sings in the morning. That's what I was always taught. And you can hear them. You can hear the birds start, and they start praising the Lord. You hear the leaves rustle. And they start praying. Even the creation is in all of God. And we don't even live that God exists. We don't live that He's still the great God. That ain't nobody like our God this morning. Ain't nobody like Him today. Nobody. Nobody. Did you understand just how awesome He is? That you acknowledge His presence. We're talking about the fear of the Lord and of respect. Now, listen. I feared my daddy. Now, I feared my daddy in several ways. I wasn't going to buck up against my daddy. No way, shape, or form. My father, if I bucked up against him, then I would be set down very quickly. But can I tell you, my respect for my daddy was what caused me to fear my daddy. My love for my daddy is what caused me to respect. You may not have had that kind of daddy, but I did. I had one that carried himself right, that what he spoke was true, that what he done was true, that he was sacrificial in giving in every way. Everything he done was giving. I'll never, many a time, when me and Cheryl was married, things was always a little tight financially, and Daddy didn't have nothing either, didn't have nothing. We go out to the building and maybe show me what he wanted. He'd get in his billfold, and he said, listen, you need a little something. And he always kept a little extra down in a little hole. And his wife said, hey, you need a lawyer? I said, no, I'm fine. He said, you sure? He said, I'll let you have a little bit. They said, I ain't got much, but I got a little bit put back just in case you need something. And the respect that I had for my dad, the love I had, and it was a fear, a godly fear, that when he spoke, I listened. When he gave me advice, I took it. When he told me to do something, I was obedient. And it wasn't because I was scared he was going to smack my teeth out. Now, I had that respect as well, that I wasn't going to mean mouth him, and I wasn't going to say nothing to him, because that would happen. But I wasn't concerned about the punishment, but the respect I had because of his awesomeness. Let me tell you, my God's a whole lot bigger than Boyd Russell's secrets. Can I tell you, my God is so awesome and so great and so marvelous, and he's so big that he's more than my mind can comprehend. And to think that he left heaven's glory and come down to live in my heart, and that awesomeness of an almighty God lives inside of me when he born me anew and give me new life in him this morning. There's nobody like him. And every day he reaches in that pocketbook and says, can I give you? You need a little bit? Oh, I got a little bit put back for you. Oh, listen, I may not. To God, he's got everything. He don't miss a thing. But he says, I got a little bit put back. You need a little bit? I need a little bit, Father. And he gives to me. That's the awesomeness of my God. Are you listening to me this morning? We're losing that fear. We're losing. It said, let all the inhabitants of the earth be in awe. That we all be. Man, we walked in here. We shouldn't be able to walk in here. Well, sometimes we got to use a cane. Sometimes we got to use a stick. Yeah, but we're still making it. How we might not see the steps we take. We might not be able to see everything. Oh, but he sees it for us. For he knows the way that I take. And he knows what every step's ahead. And he knows what's behind me and on my side. But ain't nobody can do what he can do this morning. And that's what we fear. That's how we fear God this morning. We fear him. Do you understand? Does it bring you in reverence and awe this morning that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere? He's in me. Is it anybody else? Wait a minute, he's in me. No, he's in me. No, he can't be, he's in me. Huh? He's in me. Is anybody over here? No, he can't be because he's in me. Okay, he's everywhere. But can I tell you, he's outside. He's up the road. He's crossed the hill. He's in the next county. He's on the other side of the world. He's everywhere. Do you understand that this awesome God is everywhere? He's everywhere. But he ain't just everywhere, but he knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows what you done. He knows why you done it. He knows where you hid it. Huh? He knows that. He knows where you hid it. Huh? We hide stuff. He knows where it's at. He knows where it's at. And if you ain't careful, he'll dig it up and show you. Sometimes he'll dig it up and show somebody else. Huh? Won't he knows what you're fixing to do. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your deeds before you do them. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your future. Hey, can I tell you, when he wrote everything down at the beginning, it's all history for him. He already knows everything. Think about that. He don't write nothing new. It's all history. He already knows it. Does that awe you? To know that he knows everything about you? And he lets you walk with him. He lets you talk with him. That he moves inside of you and wants to commune with you and fellowship with you. That he wants to save you and make you his own. Give you eternal life to spend eternity with. That's this awesome God. Hey, we ought to fear the Lord this morning. Huh? That he's not just omnipresent and omniscient. Knowing everything and being everywhere, but he's omnipotent. Ain't nothing he can't do. Right. They were big words for me, but I kind of tell you that's how I want to describe him. He's not mighty. God's not mighty. He's almighty. He's not powerful. He's all powerful. He can't do some things. He can do everything. Ain't nothing he can't do. That not the scripture even asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It answers itself and says, oh, there's nothing too hard for him. Huh? Think about that. But yet we've lost that fear. We've lost that godly fear, not terror, but reverence. You know, what would we, let me ask you this morning. Now I can look at Rick. I know some of your dads. I knew Roscoe. I was just little, but I remember Roscoe Childers. I remember every time my papa would go by up Young's Creek, and if Roscoe, my memory of Roscoe Childers was with a mowing scythe on that bank, cutting weeds and brush. That's my memory of your daddy, Rick. And papa would stop and talk to him, and they was talking about the Lord, and I wanted to go in the woods, Jen singing, and they're wanting to talk about the Lord, and I'm wanting to go find a squirrel or catch a crawdad in Young's Creek, and they're wanting to talk about the Lord. Huh? But did you act a certain way around Roscoe? I wonder, did you watch your mouth when you was around Roscoe? Did you watch what you done? I bet there wasn't no hand gestures anybody going up the road or nothing when he was around Roscoe. How about Guy Kincaid? Huh? Hey, Dennis, I bet they was a certain way. I knew Guy. I love Guy. Guy, if you was ever in a church service, the harder the service got, the better Guy Kincaid liked it. If you told him how dirty and low down he was, he'd cry and say, "You're right. I love it. You're right." And the harder you told him he was no account, the better he'd amen you. But you acted a certain way around him, didn't you? I bet you didn't just jump on his equipment and run it any way you wanted to, didn't he? Did he tell you run it in first gear? Did you run it in second? No, you run it in first. He'd jerk you off of it, wouldn't he? But why? Why was that? Because you respected him and loved him. Huh? Some of you as parents, I knew the same way. You act a certain way. Is that not right? You act a certain way around your mom and your dad. You didn't say a certain word around your mom or your daddy. You wouldn't think about using the language you use on the job around your mama at the kitchen table. Huh? You wouldn't think of it. I mean, it wouldn't even enter your mind to let some of them words slip that you use so easily on the job because of your respect. It was your fear of your mom and your dad. Huh? But yet we have an awesome God, an almighty God, that we talk the way we want to talk and say what we want to say and act the way we want to with what He gives us. Everything I got belongs to the Lord. I don't own not one thing. It don't matter where my name's on the deed or not. It don't matter where my name's on the title or not. The Lord's what owns it. But yet, I don't fear Him. Because I treat it like it's mine. And I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm going to do it whether it hair lifts everybody and whether God is going to have to deal with me later. You ever said that God's going to have to deal with you later? Right now you ain't got time. Huh? Well, you didn't say it out loud, but you say it the way you live. And you're the believer. You're His child. You mean to tell me you've never been a rebellious child? Huh? Sure we have. Sure we have. I'm talking about the fear of God from His children has faded away. Huh? Can I tell you that the fear of the Lord, there ought to be a desire to turn from evil. You know, I respected my papa and my daddy so much. If I was around them, I wanted to do better when I was around them than I did if I wasn't around them. I wanted to. Now, my daddy was not a compliment giver. You know? I mean, my dad was the kind of, you got the look. You know, that look was 3 whoopings, 10 groundings, to bed early for 6 years. I mean, just the look, you know what I mean? Right? You ever had that? You ever had that? But if he'd ever smile. Now, he wasn't a sad man, but if he smiled at you, boy, you just puff up. You know what I mean? You just puff up. Do you know there was an old man by the name of John Brown that done a lot of writing commentaries. You know what he said? I think I wrote it down here. It says, to fear God is to love Him so that His frown would be your worst dread. But His smile would be your greatest delight. Do you fear Him in that way? Do you fear Him that if you could just maybe the Lord would smile, that would be the greatest thing in your life because of your fear and respect? Or do we even care? Huh? How about Proverbs chapter 16? Is everybody with me this morning? I'm just talking about the fear of the Lord. See, We talk about the fear of the Lord and say, well, you mean you need to run from Him? No, you don't run from Him. You go to Him. Huh? I told the guys in the prayer room here this morning, we was talking. We mean, sure, you know, we got our dog died back in June. We got a puppy. And that puppy is, 9 weeks old, I reckon. 9 weeks old. And I scold him. He gets on, you know, puppy tears up everything, you know, chew everything. And he argues with me. I get on him and he'll stop and look up at me and just bark and growl. And I'll slap his head. I mean, I'll slap him. And he'll roll. And he comes back on. Oh, just tells me off. How can something that small be so defiant? How can something so small be so defined? Huh? That feeds me and clothes me and protects me and cares for me. And all I want to do is yap, yap, yap. Huh? Huh? We've lost the fear of God this morning. Are you still with me this morning? Proverbs chapter 16. How about verse 6? It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Look at me. Are you departing from evil? You run into it. You make plans for evil. How about your fear of God? How about your fear of the Lord? Does the fear of the Lord back you off from doing wrong? Are you following me this morning? It's what it says. Let's read again. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Do you depart from evil this morning? Huh? Seem like we lay in it. Seem like we lay in it and don't even bother us anymore. Huh? You know, you may think my family's cruel in some of the things I say, but in the wintertime is the time to rebuild all your lawnmowers and everything growing up, you know. You didn't go buy a new one, you fixed what you had. And I remember we'd be setting the timing on an old pull start lawnmower, and we set the timing with a postcard, and Papa, we checked the points and everything on them. Papa would say, "Now, listen," he said, "grab hold of that spark plug, boy." Yeah. Amen. He said, "Now I'm going to pull it real slow." He said, "And see if you feel anything." Well, he'd pull it, and I'd jump and said, "Yeah. Yeah." I said, "It's got a little bite to it." He'd grin. And he'd do it, and he said, "Now you pull." Well, I sometimes pulled it too fast. But I'd pull it, you know, he never flinched. Because he was used to it. I watched him. Coal miner, of course. Coal mine electrician. I wish Embry was here today. Jonathan's here. Coal mine electrician, he didn't go kick the breaker. He just cut into the wires. And after whatever breaker kicked, well, that's the one we'll worry about then. And then he'd rewire. And the far would fly and the pliers would burn up and everything. But it didn't bother him. Well, I've done that and it just ate me up, you know. But he was used to it. See, we get used to the things that hurt us and punish us. And we don't fear it no more. We don't fear it no more. We're used to it. Some of us have lived so rough and so disobedient that we don't even, we just, like when my mommy was a tiny woman and she'd go beating on us, whooping us, you know, and it never did just stay at the bottom. She'd start on your bottom and it moved up to around your head and she'd beat you, you know. Well, I just hump up like this. Well, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. Then she say, "You wait till your daddy gets home." Oh, then I know there wasn't going to be that. There wasn't going to be, wasn't no humping up in. But see, what we do, we hump up. Are you following me this morning? It's because there's no fear, no respect, no awe that God is no longer awesome in our life. We still okay? How about Proverbs chapter 8? Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate. I'm asking you where the fear of the Lord has went. Where is the fear of the Lord when in the creed? I'm talking about the believer. I'm talking about you and me that's been born again, that have been washed in the blood, but there's no fear. We're immune to the fear of God. Huh? We still okay? The fear of the Lord ought to bring repentance and it ought to bring respect, and it ought to bring awe, and it ought to, I mean, if I thought I'd hurt my dad, man, I couldn't think if I'd hurt my dad's feeling. My popo, man, ain't nobody, I love like my daddy, my popo, man, if I thought I'd done something to hurt their feeling, my. But yet, I got an awesome God that's greater than Popo Bill and Boyd Secrets. You'll get over it. You'll be all right, God. I'm nobody, but I am somebody. For I'm one the Lamb was slain for. I am one that the blood was paid for. I'm as worth as much as any other believer. Are you listening to me? But there's no fear of God. But there's no fear of God. Look in Exodus chapter 20. Are we still okay? Exodus chapter 20. Here's a good way to distinguish between your fears, the fear of God, and not to be in terror, but in respect. Look in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Everybody understand that? Fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear, wait a minute, he said fear not. He said that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Amen. How come we don't love him and respect him enough to be clean? How come we don't love him and respect him enough to walk in a clean path and to clothe ourselves in the clothes that he says for us to put on in Ephesians and Colossians? Are you listening to me this morning? I'm asking about the fear of God. Right. Beginning of wisdom. Where's it at today in the Christian's life? We live the way we want to live in rebellion and expect the blessing of God. And when he don't bless us, we get mad. We get mad because we've been disobedient. I was coming through Lowe's, might have been yesterday. And I seen a nice family. Here come the daddy and the mommy. Here come a, kid about that tall. Then here come one about that tall. And that one about that tall decided they was going to bow up. And the daddy just went on. The mommy turned around and yapped at him. And I say yapping because it mattered to me just for a dog, that dog of mine. And that boy got in the floor. He beat the floor with his hands. He sat on his bottom and kicked his feet. He squalled. Daddy never even looked. He just kept on going. I had to go to another aisle. I got so mad. But I thought, that's the way God is. I'll go ahead and yap and so the fifth one, too, he just walks by. He just ignore me. He ain't going to pay me no mind because that boy had to get in the car in a little while. Are you hearing me? That boy had to get in the car and go home with daddy in a little bit. And I don't figure it was going to be the same as it was there in love. Are y'all understanding this morning? I'm asking you, do you fear God? Do you fear God this morning? Is that awesomeness still with you? Huh? Is it still there? Do you respect him enough to live clean? Do you respect him enough to talk clean? Do you respect him enough to be the Christian that he's born you to be? Huh? Just a thought this morning. Just a desire about not to be in terror, but to reverence the Lord, not just a desire to turn from evil. How about a respect and appreciation of his benefits? Huh? Have you ever been thankful for what your father gave you? Huh? You know, I got some things that I won't part with. I mean, there's not enough money in the world. I can't be hungry enough. I can't be poor enough to get rid of some of the things I've got that my father gave me. I mean, I'd just soon die. If getting rid of some of it would save my life, I would just have to die, I reckon, because I'm not going to part with it. It means so much. The benefit that I know it cost him to give me. Are you following me? Well, let's just see. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 103, is everybody okay? The Bible says in Psalms 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Do you know, I think sometimes we forget. How about Psalms 130? Let's see if we can find something maybe we forget. Huh? Everybody still with me? I want everybody to pay close attention to this now. How about Psalms 130? We'll start at verse 1. It said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But look at verse 4. Look at these benefits. But there is forgiveness with thee. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Wait a minute. Do you remember what he forgave you for? Do you remember what you'd done? Do you remember what you'd done to him? He saved you and washed you clean and set you up and give you a new residence and everything. And then you remember what you'd done? You remember how you acted? You remember where you turned your back, how you walked away? And do you remember the forgiveness that he gave? Do you remember the love that he showed and the mercy that he showed? All the grace that he gave. Do you remember that? He never slapped you away from a table. He carried you to the table. And we forget the benefits of our Father this morning. Listen to me. There's things that my daddy done for me that nobody else knows. There's things that I have not even shared with Cheryl. She's wondered, I'm sure, where this has come from or how we was able to make this payment or how we was able to do that. But there was always that little extra I was telling you about. Are you listening to me? We forget his benefits. Cause of no respect. I'm wondering this morning, what's he done for you? What he forgive you for? What he forgive you for this morning? What did he say? It's under the blood. We're not going to talk about it. What did he say? It's in the past. I'm not bringing it up no more. What did he tell you? Not to worry about it no more. It's done. Amen. Huh? But yet we don't fear him. I believe sometimes we've been lost the fear of God in the church house. I believe we have. What do you think? Huh? Then there's a fear of God for the sinner. I don't want to cut you short. The fear of God for the sinner. Maybe you're here and you're lost this morning. You don't know Christ. Can I tell you, you better be careful. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you're lost this morning, go ahead and live your life the way you want to. Go ahead. You're allowed. Go ahead and live your life in unbelief. You're allowed. Go ahead and live your life in rebellion and curse God. You're allowed. Go ahead. Go ahead and cuss God and use God's name in vain. Go ahead. Live any old way. Go ahead and forget it all. Just go ahead. Go ahead. That's your privilege. That's your right. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You better be careful. You better be careful this morning. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's not going to come, but the wrath of God already abides on you. If you're an unbeliever this morning, if you're not saved, if you've not repented of your sins and trusted Christ, then the wrath of God is abiding on you right now. And you better fear him. You better fear him this morning. You better pay attention and fear him. Huh? Look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, you say, why should I fear him? God ain't got nothing to do with me. God don't want me. Let me tell you something, God does want you. But you better be careful. You better be careful. Look in Matthew chapter 10. Look here at verse 28. Says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You better be careful. You better be an unbeliever this morning. You've never bowed yourself down to God and said, God, I'm sorry for my sins and I trust you to save me. Then you better be careful. You better have some fear. You better fear God. Do you understand? I don't know that you understand that God can put you in hell at any moment He decides to. That He don't have to wait for court. You're already guilty. That He don't have to wait for the jury to come in. You're already guilty. Romans 1, you can go back and read that all the world would stand guilty before God. Huh? Man, it's a fearful thing. To fall in the hands of a living God. That God could just say, all right, that's enough. It's enough. Huh? I'll never forget, I've told you about this before. I'll tell you this morning about when I was pastoring up at Carl. There had Bible school and a couple little girls was saved in Bible school on the first night. And I went out there to talk to the parents when they come to pick up the kids. And I said, so-and-so got saved. And just want you to know, and I want you all to come, I want you and your husband to come. She sat there in her car and cried. She said, no, we're not coming, and they'll never be back. I said, oh, Mama, don't do that. Let them kids come. Let them kids come. No, they'll never be back to this church. I said, listen, we never forced the kids. We just taught the lesson and they come wanting to be saved. We weren't going to turn them away. He said, no, they'll never come back. I said, man, please don't do that. Please don't. She drove out of the driveway 2 weeks, 2 weeks to the day. Turned her car upside down. Out where she never belonged. Middle of the night, the car caught a fire. They tried to get her out of the car. And I know the man, I won't say his name, but witness tried to get her out and said all I could hear was screams. And she was trapped and she burnt alive in the car. You say, well, that's just a scary story. No, that's a true story. One of the greatest blessings, I was holding a revival up Fenwick Mountain. I don't know, back 1999, 2000, somewhere through there. And here come a young lady. After I preached, come up and said, hi, Preacher Mark. I was good to hear you tonight. And I said, well, thank you. She said, you don't know me, do you? I said, no. I'm sorry, I don't. She said, think about it. I said, no, honey, I don't know you. And she had a little baby with her. She told me her name. And that was that girl that was saved that Monday night. Still in church, still living for the Lord, that little baby and her husband. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful, but I couldn't help but think of that mama. Don't tell me that you can get Bible stuff. Don't tell me you live any old way. Huh? You better fear the one that not just kills your body. Huh? You better fear the one that can cast your soul and body in hell. That's where you better fear this morning. You better fear. Do you realize that you're rebelling against God? Do you realize that? Turn over to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Don't tell me you don't know. Don't tell me that there's something that ain't don't move in your heart. You're unsaved. You come to church on Sunday. You come in here and think you go away without being moved. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't believe that for a moment. God says He done showed you. If you never darken a church door, that's why I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe that there's nobody that don't believe in something. I don't believe there's anybody in this world. These people might not know God, but they'll worship an alligator or a crocodile because they know there's a God somewhere. You go out and see the stars in the heavens and the clouds in the sky and the rain come and do all that. Listen to me. Listen to me. You're not going to stand one day and say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you know. For you've been rebellious on purpose against God. And you better fear God because He'll cast you into hell. You better be scared. You better be scared. But you don't have to go. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be that way. You can turn from the way that you're living. Listen to me. You need Christ is what you need this morning. You don't need a better life. You don't need an improved life. You don't need to change your ways. You need born again this morning. You need washed in the blood of Christ this morning. You need saved this morning. That's what you need. You need to know Christ in your life. That's what you need this morning. And because of the wrath of God, Christ went to the cross and endured God's wrath that you wouldn't have to. He endured the wrath of God and suffered for your sin that you might be given life and life more abundant this morning. Hear me. Look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. You hang with me. I'm about done. Isaiah 53. I want you to know the good news. Isaiah 53. Look here at verse 5, speaking of Christ, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Are you listening to me this morning? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to fear God in every respect. But you can come to Christ today. You can be saved today. There's nothing stopping you but you. It's just that you won't. You just won't come. But you can come. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what it says. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Listen, you don't need to be better because you ain't going to be better. If you're better today, you'll be worse tomorrow. If you try to fix yourself, you'll get worse. You won't get better. Christ Himself said, you'll be like the one who cleaned their house and removed everything. And when he went back, he was seven devils worse than what they was to start with. I've seen many of people that have come and said, well, I'll just do a little better. And they make a pass at it. And they get so wicked you couldn't live around them. Right. Huh? What you need is Christ. You need Him to have you a new life this morning. It's not in works. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Huh? Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's by Christ this morning. By Him alone. By Him alone this morning. Huh? We need to fear God. We need to fear God. Christian, we need to fear God. Do you know that the fear of God for a Christian, it's good that we reverence the Lord. That's part of it. That we have Him in awe and He's still the awesome God that He is and great. But can I tell you that if you fear God the way you should, you know that'll move you in evangelism? Did you know that? Did you know that if you truly fear God, you'll become an evangelist? Huh? No, not like Boyd Collins. You'll not be like Boyd and being a pastor and a preacher and that, but you'll be an evangelist. You believe that? You believe that? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. How about we go back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go back here. I believe we preached this last week. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body. Verse 10, where everything received done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look at verse 11. Therefore, knowing the what? Terror of the Lord. Wait a minute. Therefore, we know the terror. We know what he can be. Look what it does to me. We persuade men. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Can I tell you this morning, we that are Christians, I'm afraid we've lost the fear of God. I'm afraid he ain't big enough for you no more. I'm afraid that's why our prayer life is strained, because he ain't big enough to handle it. I believe that's why your burdens are weighted you down, because he ain't big enough to carry him. I think it's why you're overwhelmed in life, because there's no fear of God. He's not big enough for you no more. He's not big enough. Well, what's that song, Cheryl? You always sing a song, "My Lord is big enough." Huh? I figured you'd have thought of that. Huh? Is he big enough for you? Is he sufficient for you? Is he enough for you? If you fear him, he's more than that. Huh? You say, "Are you telling me?" And I'm not supposed to be afraid. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You're supposed to reverence him, not be afraid. For the spirit, the Bible said, the spirit of fear don't come from God, but of a sound mind. That's what the Bible said. So the fear I'm talking about is not terror. Are you following me this morning? I'm talking to you, Christian. Are you following me this morning?
Yes.
That respect. Listen, my daddy didn't have a lot. He got out of work, lived on disability, never got no miner's pension, worked all them years, never got his pension. Lived on black lung, disability, Social Security. But if I had a need, I wouldn't even have to ask him. If he knew I had the need, then my need was fulfilled. He never thought about the cost. That was my daddy. Let me tell you about my father. My father knows every need I ever have. And he's got plenty. But I don't. Nah, I do it myself. I'll fix it. I'm not fixing it because I don't want to trouble him. I'm going to fix it because I'm full of pride. I'm not going to fix it because I don't want to. I'm just not worth it. That ain't why I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it because I know what needs to be done. And I don't think you awesome no more. I don't think you know it all no more. I'm just going to go ahead and live my life. I'm glad you saved me. I'll be up there to see you someday. But until then, I'm just going to go ahead and live like hell. Nah, I don't think about that. Better go back and rehash that one. I'm asking you, do you fear God? Cheryl, you go to the piano. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you lost? Do you fear God? You better fear God. You better run to him this morning. You better run to him. You don't wait. I'll never forget years ago, I was preaching revival down at the old Miller Baptist Church across from Brother Rick's. I preached on hell, the judgment of God in hell. And a man stood up in the back. I was in the middle of preaching and he said, "No, I can't go." And down Ollie run right to the communion table. And God says, "I can't go, God. I'm sorry." That's how you ought to be. You ought to run to him this morning. This is as fast as you can run. Because he can put you in hell just like that. He ain't got to wait for an agreement. He ain't got to wait for any more sanction. He is the judge of all. He said, "I ain't going to bow down." Yes, you will. God has given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under earth, and that every tongue shall go. confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, can I tell you this morning, we better fear God. Christian, are you fearing God? I want you to bow your head this morning. I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking to the Christian this morning. Do you fear God? Is He awesome enough for you this morning? You say, preacher, I've done for God. I'm almost like the lost. See, not even in my thoughts. I don't think about God much. I'm just living my life. Yeah, I know He saved me. I know I'm saved. But boy, I tell you, preacher, things ain't right. I wonder, I don't want you to lift your hand. I wonder if you'd be man enough or woman to just slip out of your seat and find you a place around this altar this morning. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to fear You. Huh? People come, won't you come this morning? You know, things ain't right. I don't have to tell you. You know things ain't right. You can't live like you're living and things be right. Are you hearing me this morning? You can't live like you're living and be right with God. It just don't work that way. It don't work that way. You can't be living in sin and fearing God. Hear me this morning. You can't be living in sin and fearing God at the same time. Well, I'm going to fix it. No, you need to fix it with the Lord. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? How about you, sinner man? How about you? How about you, sinner lady? Lost? Won't you fear God? He can put you in hell right now. You better. He don't owe you nothing. He's already done everything for you. If you go to hell, it'll be because you stick your nose up and stick your tongue out and spit in the face of an almighty God. For it's not His will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you get out of your seat and run to Him? Say, save me. Won't you run to Him this morning? Let Him save your soul. Father, speak to our hearts. We're a hard-hearted bunch. We're a thick-headed, hard-hearted bunch living in sin. But we're not seeking righteousness. We're seeking evil ways. We're not seeking the lost, even though we know the terror of the Lord. But we're not fearing You. We're Your child and we're rebellious. Lord, help us. We're thick-headed. Lord, we're not even fearing the chastisement that's coming. God, have mercy. Lord, I'm sure there's lost here this morning. I pray that You would draw on them and they would run to You in faith believing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.